listening to the CCA Podcast.
Peace is our theme. And I don't know if you were to kind of just do an inner gut check right now in terms of, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you in relationship to a sense of peace? I mean, how do we even judge that, right? I mean, sometimes we judge it just on the basis of whether our anxieties are... are basically under control. Sometimes it's a matter of, okay, what are the relationships around us like? Sometimes we really are concerned about the situations in the world. Just hearing on the news this morning as I was driving to church, another tsunami in Indonesia, and another 200 people killed as a result, and it's like, oh man, it's one thing after another, whether it be political or whether it be natural catastrophes. There are so many issues that can very easily rob our peace. So, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, wild and sweet, the words repeat, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." But then the third verse, "In despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth," I said, "for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." But the Henry Wordsworth Longfellow is the author, is the writer of the poem, and then he says, "But then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men." There's a turning. It's really rather like the psalmists who are calling out with their, first of all, a sense of affirmation of God and who he is and his character, but I'm struggling. Things are tough here. I don't get it. But then a turning back again and saying, but I'm going to trust. I'm going to place my confidence because God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. And so today in the message, we're going to talk about unexpected peace. How does God bring unexpected peace into our lives? And I'd like you to just take a moment to reflect in silent prayer, just about 30 seconds. Father, we pray that you would bring us peace, that you would be the one who, as Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, you come into our lives and you radically turn things around. Draw us closer to you and let us know the peace of God that passes understanding in a very real and deep way. In Jesus' name, amen. I was looking at some little online videos. There are a lot that are available these days. There was one that I came across just reflecting on the message of today, the fourth Sunday of Advent, how Jesus is our peace. And I think you can probably relate. Some of it's a little bit, you'll see. We'll talk about it afterwards. Thank you. I was just thinking, for the people in the back, that was an eyesight test, right? Maybe even from the front. I could read it pretty well from up here, but that may have been a tough one. I almost didn't want to show it because it starts out with, do you know how hard it is to find a parking place? And I thought, well, that is so trite, you know. But actually, anybody been down to University Village this year during the, you know, I was down there the other day, and I feel like I got the last parking spot on the upper level up by QFC. You know, I was going in to try to get some roast beef for the Christmas feast. And so on the way back, you know, I was running back to get to the parking lot, and there were people that kept going across the little crosswalk there as people were trying to get into the parking place. And so I waited, you know, a bit for a car to give them a chance to get through, because the cars were like going crazy, you know, with people going, no one could get on through. And then just as I was waiting, and the guy was just about to pull out, and someone walks across from the other side right in front, and I'm like, sorry, dude, you know, and I walked across too, and then he rolled down his window and he said, thanks for at least caring. I thought that was pretty cool, you know. It's, you know, sometimes it is something as trite as finding a parking spot, but, you know, it goes much deeper than that. How can I sleep in heavenly peace when I can't even sleep? Some of you know what that's like. How can I have peace with the fighting and fussing and conflict and struggle that's going on? There's a, some of you have gone, I was going to ask Matt and Steph. Steph, did you guys go to have a Santa Claus picture taken? And you did with Little Shepherd, right? Yeah. So we did the same thing when Catherine was, because Catherine was born on November 19th, you know, so she was like 3 weeks old when we went to go get her first Santa Claus picture. And you know, sometimes, you know, we're all about this whole thing of creating a memory and creating a moment, and we're so concerned about making it all right. And then, you know, I mean, when it comes right down to it, you're handing Santa Claus this little three-week-old baby, you know, and he's like, oh, thank you, you know, and she's like, oh, you know, and trying to get a nice picture. And there's a pretty funny radio piece by David Sedaris called The Sandland Diaries. I don't know if you've heard it before, but he talks about being an elf at the Macy's in downtown New York, and just about all the experiences, you know, and he, one of the lines out of it is, tonight I saw a woman slap and shake her growing child. She yelled, Rachel, get on that man's lap and smile, or I'll give you something to cry about. Then she sat Rachel in Santa's lap, and I took the picture, which supposedly means on paper that everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be, that everything is snowy and wonderful. It's not about the child or Santa or Christmas or anything, but the parents' idea of a world they cannot make work for them. Sometimes our efforts to make things so great, and our all the memories we have of past Christmases and the way we'd love things to be, put so much pressure on the situation that actually Christmas, like Steph was talking about in her intro, Christmas can become, rather than a thing of peace, it can become a day of stress, or a moment of stress, or a season of stress. And of course, that's not the message of the angels. That's not the message that they brought. So in Luke chapter 2, the famous passage, which we all know from Charlie Brown's Christmas special, And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Now, many of us who grew up with Charlie Brown, we got it memorized according to the King James Version, which says, "On earth peace, goodwill to men." Here the translation, if you just put it back up for just a sec, is, "On earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Now, which is it? Is it peace on earth, goodwill to men, or is it on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests? And the interesting thing is that this all depends on one little Greek letter, a sigma. There's one word that means those who are favored, or those who God is smiling on, so to speak. It's one Greek word. And if there's an S on the end, if there's a sigma on the end, it makes it genitive case. And if it's no S, then it makes it nominative case. If it's nominative case, then it becomes a subject, and then you have two things that God's bringing, peace and goodwill. But if it's genitive, with the sigma on the end, it becomes peace to those of goodwill. Peace to those who are on whom his favor rests. Now, the best manuscript evidence, the oldest manuscripts and the best manuscripts, but not the ones that the King James authors were, or the King James translators were working with, the best manuscripts have the sigma. It's genitive case. It's not peace on earth and goodwill to all. It's peace in particular to those on whom his favor rests. Now, that's important. It's not as if God is not concerned about all, because the angels actually said, "Good news of great joy that shall be for whom? For all people." It is good news of great joy for all people, but the peace in particular that God gives is to those on whom his favor rests. And how do we come into the favor of God? By putting faith in his Son who he sent. That's why it's such great news. This is great news. I'm giving you the one who's going to create the peace. And so you are going to be those on whom my favor rests if you receive this gift, if you receive the Son. It's more particular. God wants peace for the whole world, but his means of bringing that peace is through his Son. And if we accept the Son, we are those on whom his favor rests. So a little analysis here. So you've got in this phrase, you've got a subject and a location and then a recipient. So it's glory to God in the highest. Glory is the subject. God is the recipient. And where? It's in the highest. And then contrasted, okay, and then peace, where? On earth. And who's the recipient? People on whom his favor rests. Those are the two movements of Christmas. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests, those who receive the Son. This is great news. It's the good news. It's the good news that woke the shepherds up. It's the good news that brought the wise men all the way from the east. It's the good news that is proclaimed throughout. It's the good news that Mary hid away in her heart and treasured and waited until the day that when the greatest sorrow would take place, when a sword would pierce her heart also, her soul also, waited for that day, knowing though that that day when a sword would pierce her soul was the day when Jesus would bring redemption to all mankind. That's the good news. So, peace to those on whom his favor rests. You've got notes, and you can pull them out of your programs, out of your bulletins. What does that peace look like? What are the elements of the peace that God brings? And one of the things that God does bring through his Messiah, just so you're familiar, again, a little Greek lesson, the word Christos is the Greek word for Messiah. And it's the word we get Christ from. And it means anointed one. It's a translation of the Hebrew word Mashiach. And Mashiach is Messiah. And it also means anointed one. So in Hebrew, anointed one. In Greek, anointed one. They're the same word. And we call Jesus is our Messiah. But when we call him our Messiah, what we use the word, the Greek word Christ. It means anointed one. So Jesus, the Messiah, is the one who brings peace among the nations. Our Messiah brings peace among the nations. The passage that Hudson read this morning. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. This is one of the most amazing passages of Scripture. It's looking forward to what's the Messiah going to do? He's going to bring peace on earth. And it's going to impact nations. It's going to impact governments. Of the greatness of his government of peace, there will be no end. Now, the thing is that we look at that and we look around and we say, well, there is no peace on earth, I said. I mean, we have lived, you know, in my day, I grew up with the Cold War. And we've talked about this before. How many of you remember doing nuclear attack drills by crawling under your desk in elementary school? You know, like we're preparing for a nuclear winter and we're crawling under our desk. That was Cold War, you know. We went, though, Karen and I were a part of it. We were right in the middle of it. We went from the end of the Cold War. We were there in Germany when the wall came down. And people are dancing on the wall. And we're just so thrilled. And 1 year later, we've got Desert Storm. I mean, all the years of the Cold War and all the excitement about peace on earth, and then boom, it's 1 year later, and war in the Middle East. And we ask ourselves, well, Lord, where is the peace among the nations? I want you to take your notes, and I want you to write one thing under that point number one. It's one word, future. Future. There are many, many prophecies in the Old Testament that will only be fulfilled in the future. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. From Isaiah chapter 11. These are things that we wait for. Jesus actually said, what did he say? That in the last days, distress will increase. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Jesus said it. He's the Prince of Peace. He brings peace, but there is still the tension of war. But in the future, and we can bank on it, we can, you know, we can put our money in the bank on this one. He's going to bring peace that's going to be eternal. He's the eternal king. And the lion is going to lay down with the lamb. And of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. And that's what we can look forward to. And some people may say, well, man, that's not good enough for me. That's pie in the sky. Pie is good. The sky is good. You know, God's hope for us is a good, whole hope. And, you know, in the meantime, what do? We live in the already but not yet. Is the peace of God already working itself into the world? It is. You know, that song that was mentioned in that little video that you couldn't read says, it says, let there be peace on earth and what? And let it begin with me. Is that from the Bible? No, it's from a song. Is it biblical? To some extent. Definitely Jesus said, what did he say? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed. So yes. We take on the role of our big brother, Jesus. We act like him. We behave like him. We become peacemakers. Is it going to solve everything in the world? No. Do we give up? No. Do we continue to pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do we keep praying that? Yes. Is it going to happen? Yes. Is there going to be wars and struggles and tribulation in the meantime? Yes. Messiah brings peace among the nations. Ultimately, it's something that's future. Number two. Not only does the Messiah bring peace among the nations, he brings peace in relationships. The Messiah brings peace in relationships. I love this passage in Galatians. It says this, for you all are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. You see, Paul talks a lot about the breaking down of the wall of separation. And we don't really think of the wall of separation quite in the way that he did, but the wall of separation was quite literal. In the temple, there was a court of the Gentiles, those who were uncircumcised, those who were not Jews. And then there was the court of the Jews. And you could not come, past that wall of separation. If you were an uncircumcised Gentile, you couldn't come into God's presence. And Paul says, man, in Jesus, the wall of separation is broken down. And it's so all-encompassing that it breaks down every barrier. It breaks down the sexual barrier, the sex barriers. It breaks down the social, cultural barriers. It breaks down every religious barrier. There's a possibility of connection that is new and vibrant. And I'm just so thankful for that reality. You know, in some ways we get to live that out in the dinner church that's Tuesday nights. You know, I'm so proud of our dinner church team, and Sean and Tammy, they've said, you know what? Christmas is on Tuesday. Our dinner church is on Tuesday. We're going to have dinner downstairs in the Nest Room for, you know, for our friends who have been coming week after week, and most of them are homeless, and they are looking forward to it. They're excited, you know, about coming together on Christmas Day and sharing a meal downstairs. And I love going to dinner church because part of what happens is there's the wall of separation's broken down. And it's not me as a person who has a home and one of them who's homeless. It's like there's a connection. We are together, those of us who accept this Messiah who has been sent. We are one family. I realize that for some of you, Christmas is a little scary because in truth, in your own families, there are walls of separation. You don't need to raise your hand, but I know some of you are feeling that. Hold on to this hope. Jesus is the one. He's chipping away at the wall. He's chipping away at it. He's breaking down the wall of separation. He brings us together under one head. And he is our peace, who has broken down every wall. And trust him to keep working on that. Don't give up. Don't settle for, oh man, it's just business as usual and I've just got to put up with these broken, bitter relationships. No, you don't need to. You know, I think it was last year, talking about peace, I told the story from Philip Yancey that he tells in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, where there was a couple living in the Midwest, and they had an argument one day where the husband felt that the wife had spent too much on sugar at the grocery store. And the argument was never resolved. Sugar at the grocery store. The argument was never resolved. And they were unable to settle it. He was stubborn. She was stubborn. Eventually, this man took a lumber saw and cut the house in half. Now, this is a house that was obviously sitting on, not on a foundation, but on blocks. He cuts the house in half, and he moves it to the back part of the lot, separated by a line of trees. He had acreage, and they lived that way to the day of their death, together on one piece of property, but in two separate houses, because they couldn't settle about the sugar argument. That goes to show how prone we are as human beings to build walls of separation. We do. It's in us. We get so stubborn. We get so uptight. But Jesus, he is our peace, who has broken down every wall. Hold on to that. The third thing is that the Messiah brings peace in our hearts and minds. He brings peace in our hearts and minds. I love the passages that Jesus, where he's given his assurance to his disciples. Like in John, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I still can't ever read that verse without hearing the song, because back in when I was a teenager, we were doing scripture and song movement, and so these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have, well, I can't even get that high. You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I've spoken these things to you that you might have peace. He brings peace to our hearts and minds. Another one from John. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. Or the famous one from the Apostle Paul. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want you to take in your notes under point two or point three. Oh, I didn't give you the one for point two, did I? That you're supposed to write. Oh, my goodness. What was point two? That's so terrible. Now I'm like, yeah. The Messiah brings peace in relationships, but it's dependent. As much as it lies within you, as much as it's dependent upon you, in you, live at peace with all men. We can't control it. We can't make it happen. Our peace in relationships is dependent upon the other person's response. So don't try to squeeze them into a mold and make it happen. And so the third thing is, it's not only dependent, but it's, this is a great word, inscrutable. I love it. The fact that the Messiah can bring peace into my heart is inscrutable. That means it's unfathomable. You can't know it with your natural mind. It goes too deep. That's a great word, right? Inscrutable peace. Just think about it. Where does the peace come from? Why is it there? Sometimes it's just there because the promise of Scripture is real. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful that Dennis and Linda McKinney are with us this morning and visiting from down in California. They used to live up here in the Northwest. I grew up with Linda here at the church. She was much younger than I am, and she was one of those little junior high girls, you know, when I was in high school. That's a long, big difference when you're small. But Dennis has dealt with over for several years, pretty excruciating physical issues related to a condition that was kind of eating away at his jaw. Not just kind of, but doing that. And one of the things I've always been amazed about when I talked to Dennis, and it was the same thing this morning, is that there's a deep level peace that he's got in his life, and it's inscrutable. There's not a reason, a human, rational reason that you can put on it. It's because Jesus, the Prince of Peace, dwells in his heart and mind. And so the peace of God that surpasses understanding guards him. Boy, we just don't get it any better than that. I don't know what kind of struggles. I know what some struggles are that some of you are going through. Some of them are very deep. There's reasons in the human mind. There's reasons for anxiety. There's reasons for a sense of angst. But bring your request to him, and the inscrutable peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, will guard your hearts and minds. The fourth thing is that the Messiah brings peace with our Heavenly Father. He brings peace with our Heavenly Father. Passage, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God is the big deal. It's really what matters. You might have every other relationship in your life intact. You might not have any angst related to finances or any angst related to purpose and direction. Things may be going great and fine for you. And for many people, they are. But there's a missing component, and that's peace with God. And if you don't have peace with God, you're missing everything. So write this word underneath point four. Essential. This is essential. The Messiah is going to bring peace with your Heavenly Father. It only comes through Him. You were created for relationship with God. In your heart of hearts, you know that. There's something deep within every single one of us that longs to be at peace with the God who made us. And Scripture says there's only one way to get there. And that's through Jesus Christ. The Scripture says that there is one name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. It's the only way. He's the one who brings peace with the Heavenly Father. And when that's put together, then all the other pieces can be built on top of that. This is like the bottom layer. It's the foundation. And all the other aspects of peace, they don't even work unless this one, this essential one, is worked out. The Scripture says, actually, it uses an interesting term. It uses the word enmity. You know the word enmity? We don't use it very often. It says we have enmity with God. It basically means that we're in a war with Him, that we're fighting with Him. And James chapter 4 says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." But we don't need to be an enemy with God. And becoming a non-enemy with God is not dependent upon me doing everything right. It's not dependent upon me living a perfect life. Becoming a non-enemy with God, not having enmity with Him, is simply receiving His Son. Receiving His Son. I'd like the worship team to come on up because we're going to move into conclusion. But just think about for just one second about the what that was like for the shepherds, what that was like for the wise men. They had received this good news, this incredible news. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He's the Messiah, the Lord. And so they come and they find this unexpected gift of a child born in the most humble and lowly of circumstances. But they received it. They accepted it. They said, okay, this may not make sense. The king wasn't born in a palace, but I'm going to receive this. And they went, and what did they do? They proclaimed it everywhere they went. Now, as Pastor Matthew was talking about last week, shepherds did not necessarily have the best of reputations in that day. And so they were the kind of people who, things sort of disappeared when they wandered through the village. And it's like, oh man, the shepherds were there, you know. And so then the shepherds are coming back and they're proclaiming this good news. The Messiah has been born. We know it because the angels appeared to us. And people are going, what's that racket out there? Who was that? And people are saying, oh, it's just the local thief. You know. They accepted this good news. And that's what we do. That's all we're required to do, is just receive this king. Receive this baby. Because he is the reason we have peace. I'd like you to just for a moment, let's go to prayer together, and then I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask that those of you who are struggling at this point with peace, it might be peace in relationships, it might be just a kind of a low-level anxiety that you're dealing with, it might be related to your circumstances, it might be that there's that sense that I'm not connected to God in the way that I should be. But I know I need peace. And I'm going to ask you in just a moment to out yourself by standing. Now, no one's going to be like kind of thinking, oh, what's going on with that person? Why don't they have peace? You know, try to psychoanalyze you or anything like that. We're just going to, everyone who stands, we're just going to lay hands on them because we're a family, and we're going to lay hands on you and pray that God gives you peace. One of the most simple prayers that we can pray. The peace of Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And we're going to pray for one another. So Lord, thank you, Father, for sending Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. And now we pray, Lord, that you would break the walls of separation between us and others, break the wall of separation between us and yourself. Take the anxiety-ridden hearts and replace them with the inscrutable peace of God. And Lord, we do make the bold and beautiful prayer. We pray for peace on earth. We pray, oh Lord, we pray that you would, that your will would be done, that your kingdom would come and your will be done in earth, on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, let there be peace on this earth. Let your name be glorified. Let your people be peacemakers wherever they are. And so some of you are already standing, but if you would like prayer because you say, I don't have the peace that I really need, and I would love it if the body of Christ would come around me and just pray for me. Just stand wherever you are. And then if someone's standing, then come alongside of them, put a hand on them. And maybe just keep that hand on them for a little while. But I want you to pray for them loud enough for them to hear. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And two or three of you can pray that. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.